This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 1st. I'm Jeff Bosser. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. As they pursue their case against political fundraiser Tony Rezko, prosecutors have been talking about the drugs used by their star witness, Stuart Levine. Robert Wildebohr has more.
Defense attorneys are sure to exploit Stuart Levine's shortcomings when they get a chance to question him, so prosecutors are trying to beat them to the punch and get everything out in the open now. Yesterday, they asked Levine to tell jurors about his long history of drug use. Levine says there were times when he would buy $1,000 worth of drugs and then share the drugs with friends at day-long parties at hotels. Levine says he rarely did drugs at home because he was worried he'd be caught by his wife or the cleaning lady. He always paid cash, which he got by making $10,000 withdrawals from his bank account, as often as once a week. He estimates he got $1 million in cash out of the bank over a four-year period. Levine is testifying against Tony Rezko, a big fundraiser and advisor to Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Prosecutors say Rezko and Levine used their political influence to muscle bribes out of companies hoping to do business with the state. I'm Robert Wildebohr.
Life is getting more expensive for people in Indiana today. The state's sales tax increases from 6% to 7%, with the money going to property tax relief. And motorists who pay cash to drive on the state's toll road will see their rates increase starting today. Under its contract with the state, the Indiana Toll Road Concession Company can increase tolls for cars and motorcycles as it starts operating an electronic toll transponder system on the full length of the 157-mile highway. The toll for the full length of the toll road will rise to $8 from the current $4.65 for car drivers paying cash. Drivers who use a transponder won't see a toll hike until 2016. Raising tolls for the first time in two decades was a linchpin to the 2006 deal that allowed Republican Governor Mitch Daniels to agree to a 75-year lease of the toll road for $3.8 billion. The mayor of the northern Illinois city of Aurora and several state lawmakers are pushing new legislation aimed at preventing the spread of methamphetamines. Guy Stevens reports.
One law would automatically terminate the parental rights of people convicted at least twice of manufacturing methamphetamine or crystal meth. A second law would charge an individual with arson if they were knowingly involved in making meth and the process caused a fire or explosion. Crystal meth has long been considered a rural problem, but police recently came upon a possible meth lab in Chicago, and urban drug rehab centers are seeing an uptick in meth addiction cases. Aurora Mayor Tom Weisner says the bills are a response to those developments.
Aurora and the entire state, I'm sure, wants to send the message that if you're looking to set up a meth manufacturing house, don't do it here.
State Representative Linda Chapalavia, State Senator Linda Holmes, and House Republican Leader Tom Cross have lined up with Weisner in support of the bills, but they acknowledge in the fight against meth, enacting new penalties isn't enough. They all say it requires the help of strong social programs and community support. I'm Guy Stevens.
Public health advocate Ken Cook says environmental pollution should be a concern for everyone, and even newborns are not safe. The president of the Environmental Working Group told an audience in Champaign last night about his organization's study of toxins in newborns using umbilical cord blood. The results showed an average of over 200 different toxic chemicals in the newborn's blood supplies. Cook says he hopes the results of the study show how early chemical toxins can enter the human body.
Our message is, let's do all we can as individuals, and then let's call on the government to do things to reduce some of those exposures of the most worrisome chemicals. If they show up in people, we ought to know for sure that they're safe. And if they're not proven safe, we ought to invent our way to technologies that don't end up with contaminating human beings.
Cook says in many cases, the chemical industry has come up with safer alternatives to toxic chemicals when faced with bans or public exposure. The presentation was hosted by State Representative Naomi Jacobson. The Urbana Democrat is sponsoring legislation to ban phthalates in children's toys. Former Champaign Mayor Daniel McCollum says he's not expecting a heavier workload as the city's official historian. The Champaign City Council will vote on Mayor Jerry Schweihart's nomination of McCollum as city historian tonight. The post has existed since the 1980s, when the then-Mayor McCollum appointed himself to the job.
When I created the position in the first place, I felt that there was an absence of an interest in the history of the city, and that perhaps a little bit of occasional focus on that history might make it a little more interesting to live here.
McCollum says the historian's post has no salary or budget, but he says city officials have frequently consulted him on questions of local history, whether he was holding the post or not. For instance, the city of Champaign's master plan for downtown includes an introductory chapter by McCollum on the history of the area. McCollum is slated to serve a 3-year term as Champaign city historian. He succeeds the late Bruce Kramer, who held the post until his death last December. A church gymnasium in Champaign will be the host for 2 days of brainstorming on the subject of land use. The end result may be a new set of policies regarding where Champaign County allows subdivisions, factories, or other growth while preserving other areas for farmland or natural areas. Susan Cheveria of the county's Regional Planning Commission says residents will be able to offer their own input through a survey and a staff-guided activity.
Going through very specific short exercises and mapping and taking notes on what they think, you know, where they think, you know, for example, an industrial site should be sited or where they think natural areas should be protected.
Cheveria says Champaign County's most comprehensive land use policy is more than 30 years old, and some newer policies conflict with others. She says staff is trying to balance the needs of the community with the rights of property owners, and the committee overseeing this latest land resource management plan represents all opinions. The workshops take place tonight and again Saturday morning at Champaign's First Christian Church on Staley Road. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. There's been some question about Oprah Winfrey's power to affect national political outcomes ever since she endorsed Barack Obama. But commentator Amy Guida is more interested in Oprah's power over what some consider their constitutional rights. Here's this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
There's a book you can find if you look on a saved copy of a certain website. The book is titled Great Reservations, and there's a bell on the cover, like one you'd use to call a shopkeeper who's in the back of a small store. Someone's hand is pushing down on the bell, and that someone owns a big fancy ring. But you shouldn't look for the book in your favorite bookstore. As I write this, the publisher has pulled the book, and they say it won't be on the shelves on its slated release date later this spring. That's because of the Great Reservation subtitle. Two concierges dish about outrageous requests, celebrity encounters, and guests behaving badly at a luxury hotel. The book reportedly gives readers an insider's look at people who can afford big fancy rings that decorate hands, that ring bells calling for the hotel concierge at the Four Seasons Hotel in Chicago, where the authors worked. The once website suggests that readers will learn about angry celebrities, illicit flings, John Cusack's dirty laundry, and Nicole Kidman's 800 thread count sheets. The trouble is that the authors of Great Reservations may have promised that they'd keep such things secret. They may have promised their hotel employer confidentiality. A spokesperson for the publisher told the Associated Press that the authors had signed a confidentiality agreement with the Four Seasons, and that's why the publisher has put a halt to the book. Confidentiality agreements trump the First Amendment, don't you know? I can say this with a certain level of confidence because of someone who likely never had to stay at the Chicago Four Seasons and who then likely doesn't play a role in Great Reservations. That would be Chicago's own Oprah Winfrey. Back almost a decade ago, a woman who'd worked for the Oprah Winfrey Show wanted to write a tell-all book about her experiences. She was a trained journalist, she argued, and the things that she'd write about were matters of public interest and concern. But something blocked her way. The business ethics, objectivity, and confidentiality policy that she'd signed at some point during her employment. Here's part of it, as reported by the court. During your employment or business relationship and thereafter, you are obligated to keep confidential and never disclose or confirm or deny the veracity of any statement or comment concerning Oprah Winfrey and/or her business entities. The former Oprah employee asked the Illinois appellate court to give her permission to go forward with her writing anyway, arguing that the clause wasn't fair. The court didn't see it that way. First, the confidentiality clause didn't stop the plaintiff from working elsewhere, only from dishing the dirt on her former employer. Second, it wasn't unnecessarily restrictive because our celebrity culture is such that people like Oprah need a restriction on dirt dishing for all time and in all places. The confidentiality agreement the court decided was reasonable and enforceable and didn't violate the former employee's constitutional rights. So if reports are correct that the authors of Great Reservations had signed a similar sort of agreement with their employer, it's quite possible that some lawyer somewhere read the Oprah case and expressed some great reservations about publication. Meantime, those of us who ring bells at hotels only to call desk clerks who appear to be surfing the web in some back room have never been so happy. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. The forecast today calls for mostly cloudy skies, the high around 45 degrees. Breezy, partly cloudy tonight, the low around 28. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 52. Mostly cloudy Wednesday evening, the low 35. Cloudy, a chance of showers on Thursday, the high around 55. Showers likely Thursday evening, the low around 40. Mostly cloudy Friday, with a chance of showers, the high around 58 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, April 1st, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, WIOL.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bonsert, AM 580 News.